This audio recording is brought to you by the English Ministry of the Burwood Chinese Presbyterian Church. Funds raised from this recording will go towards supporting the work of our ministry training program, a two-year apprenticeship training men and women for full-time Christian ministry. We ask that you would respect the speaker and our own copyright in this recording. For personal use only, you may convert the files to another audio format, or duplicate the files onto one other disk or audio device. However, please do not duplicate the files for the purpose of giving to someone else. Doing so is not only against the law, but will also reduce our ability to fund and support those training for full-time Christian ministry.
Let me pray for us as we open up the scriptures this morning. Father, we thank you that you are a God who loves us deeply, who desires to know us, and who desires that we know him, will know you. Father, we pray as we open up the scriptures, as we explore what it means to discover our purpose in life as it relates to you, we pray that you might speak deeply, not just to our minds, but to our hearts, so that we might truly learn what it means to live as your men and women in your world. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. In his monologue, Rhythm, the author, Rob Bell, you saw a moment ago, describes God, doesn't he? He describes God and his presence and his purpose and his work and his character and beauty in the world. He describes it all as a song. A song that's played out, he says, in the life of Jesus. A song, really, that's at the center of life. That's his worldview, as it were, his description of what reality is. And each one of us, he says, a part of that song that's been played out in life. Think about it carefully. This is what he says. He says, Jesus is like God in taking on flesh and blood, and so in his generosity, in his compassion, that's what God's like. In his telling of the truth, that's what God's like. In his love and forgiveness and sacrifice, that's what God's like. That's who God is. That's how the song goes, he says. Is God compassionate, truthful, loving, and forgiving? Or is God compassion, truth, love, and forgiveness? Then he says the song is playing all around us all the time. The song is playing everywhere. He says it's written on our hearts, and everyone is playing the song. You know, that actually comes straight out of Acts chapter 17. For in him we live and move and have our very being. The question he then asks is whether or not you're playing. It's not whether or not you're playing a song. The question he asks is, are you in tune? Are you in tune with your Creator? Good question to ask, isn't it? Are you in tune with the God who made you? Is your life in tune with the God who created you with a purpose in life? Are you in tune? Now, over the next 5 weeks, we're doing something different. What we're doing over the next 5 weeks is we're doing a topical series, which is very unusual for us here at Burwood. I don't actually recall us doing a huge topical in the last 7 years. But over the next 5 weeks, not 5 years. I know most people here don't want us to do topicals for the next 5 years. But certainly over the next 5 weeks, I want you to journey with me as we work through this topical series, as we look at what it means to be really in tune with God, who is Creator, who made us and designed us for a purpose in life. What does it mean to live in tune, really, with God? That's what I want us to do over the next 5-6 weeks. See, I think, you know, if I raise the question, I might want to, and I'll raise it this morning. Can you believe in God, know the gospel, and be out of tune with a song? Can you? I think you can. Because, you see, for many people that I meet and I know in the Christian life, as I've spoken to you guys here, not just at morning church, but evening church, for many people, the Christian life is just like that. We hear the music, but our lives are out of tune with the song. You read and you hear and you study God's word, don't you? But still, life can seem so empty, can't it? You hear the music, but your life feels so out of tune with the song. I want to say to you this morning, as we explore the scriptures, not just today, but certainly over the next few weeks, that you begin to live your life in tune with God when you discover his purpose for you in life. You begin to discover your significance and certainly your worth in life when you discover his purpose for you in life. You begin to discover that you really do matter to God when you discover his purpose for you in life. And so the journey begins, you see, when you begin to see that you are not the center of life. like that song, like the monologue actually says. It's God's song. God is at the center of life. The journey begins when you begin to see that it's not your song that's being played in life. It's His song that's playing. You see, if you are to discover God's purpose for you in life, you must first learn that you and I are not at the center of life. It's not about me. It's all about God. Get this right, and you'll discover that everything else in your life will fall into its rightful place. Now, here is the only point, really, I want to make this morning. The sermon series, most of you here will be glad to know, is very simple. There will only be one point each week. And here is the main point this morning, which is why if you look at your sermon outline, it's pretty straightforward. And that one point I hope you leave with, you take away, you meditate on, you live and you breathe and you take in this week is that one point. You were made by Him and you were made for Him. You were made by Him and you were made for Him. In fact, that's what we read in Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. If you've got your Bibles with you, you might want to turn to Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. It's a section in the scripture where Paul actually describes the Lord Jesus and what God is doing in Jesus. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. And there I want you to read it along with me as I read it out. For by Him, that is for through Him, that is the Lord Jesus, all things were created. Things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things were created. I want you to notice this, verse 16. All things were created by Him and for Him. All things were created by Him and for Him. You see, the chair you sit on right now, the air you breathe, the home you own, the car you drive, the child in your arms, it was created by Him and for Him. You see, God and His Son, the Lord Jesus, is at the very center of reality and life. You know, I was 15 when I first heard Colossians 1:16. I remember being at a church camp. Colossians 1:16 was really what I would call my Damascus Road experience, you know, when Paul was converted. It was my encounter with Jesus. I knew a lot about the Bible. I'd been to lots of Bible studies. I led lots of small groups in Sunday school, but it was there that I met Jesus, you see. When the scales, as it were, fell off, and I realized that life wasn't about me. I was not at the center of life. It was about His Son. You know, it's interesting, you know, you go on and you can read passages like John chapter 1, verse 2, that actually say, without Him, nothing was made that has been made. Without Him, nothing was made that has been made. In other words, our very existence depends on the Son. We exist by Him and for Him. In fact, the reason why God is at the center of life is precisely because He is Creator. Precisely because He is Creator. See, all things, you and I were made by Him and for Him. At the heart of God's song, you discover as you begin reading Colossians chapter 1:16, you discover the heart of God's song is the Lord Jesus, for whom you and I have been made for. Because you see, God's ultimate purpose in the world, in the universe, is that Jesus might have the supremacy in everything. Now have a look at Colossians 1. Let's begin at verse 15, because that's where we begin. And there we read that Jesus is the very image of God Himself in the flesh. It makes it very clear. As you look at Jesus, you discover He's God in the flesh. Then you go on and you read verse 17. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. Existence holds together in Him. And He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead. And then you notice how that so that statement there sums it all up. He brings everything together so that in everything Jesus might have the supremacy. So that in everything, Jesus might be Lord and King. So that in everything, Jesus might reign supreme. You see, God's primary and number one purpose in the world is to see His Son glorified. It's all about Him. And it's precisely because He is at the center of life as your Creator, as your Designer, as the one who made you, as the one who put you here on earth, who gave you existence and a life to be lived. It is precisely because of that that you matter to God. Precisely because he is at the center of your life, that life is significant. You see, what flows out of his primary purpose in glorifying Jesus, God saves us. That's why he does it, because he desires to glorify his son, to make his son supreme. It's because of his desire to lift up his son, Jesus, that I matter to God. And in lifting up his son, what is God doing? He's reaching out, isn't he? He's reaching out to those who have turned away from him. In fact, you go on in Colossians chapter 1, and you begin to read what Paul says in verse 19. And there you read that it is through his son that God is reconciling all things to himself by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. See, because through his son, God is bringing us, as it were, into relationship with himself. In fact, that's what Paul goes on to say in the rest of chapter 1. His primary purpose is in glorifying his son, because Jesus is at the center of God's purposes in the world in which we live. And out from that center, basically, springs his desire to connect with us, to bring us into relationship, because in doing that, he lifts up and he makes his son supreme. You see, it's precisely because God is at the center that you and I, because you and I were made by him and for him, that your life actually matters. It is precisely because God is at the center and that you were made by him and for him that you are significant. See, one of the things I think we must get clear as we begin the sermon series on discovering your purpose in life is that it begins not with you, it begins with God. It begins with God. He is at the center of life. It's all about God. We were made by him and for him. In fact, in the story of the Bible, you and I are not the central character, are we? We're not. We have a part to play in the story of the Bible, but it's primarily about God. It's his story, isn't it? It's his song, as it were. In Genesis 1, you know, you read the opening words of Genesis 1, you remember, everyone knows the opening words. In the beginning, God created. You read the end of the Bible in Revelation 22, and there you read, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. It's God, you see, who is the central character in the Bible. And everything that happens, you see, revolves around him. See, discovering your purpose in life begins when God is at the center in your life, when you realize that it's really not about you. You know, it's a very different way to look at life and the world in which we live, isn't it? You begin to live in tune with God when you really begin to put things in the right order in your life, don't you? With God at the center and ordering your life, as it were, around him. You know, some of you have seen that that chair analogy in some, you know, gospel tracts, where you have, you know, the individual who sits on that chair, as it were, and orders their life all around themselves. This is my financial life, and it's over here. This is my relationships, and it's over here. This is my home life, and it's over here. And this is God, and God's over there. But I'm at the center, and I'm sitting in that chair. But when you want to, but, you know, to discover your purpose in life and to live meaningfully, it actually begins when you realize that it's not you who needs to sit in that chair. And that it's God who's got to be in that chair, your creator, your maker, who has designed you and made you for a purpose. And then you begin to order all things in life according to who sits in that chair. And if God is at the center, you begin to realize that all things begin to fall into place. I want us to pause for a moment, right? Because I want you to realize this profound truth. We were made by him and for him. Your purpose in life is not to acquire possessions. Your purpose in life is not to spend your life at work. Your purpose in life is not to have multiple degrees. Your purpose in life is not to advance your career. Your purpose in life is not marriage. Your purpose in life is not comfort. You were made to live in tune with the God who made you. You were made for him. See, God actually made you for himself. Ever realize that? Yes, he desires to glorify and exalt his son. But in doing that, he desires to bring you into relationship with himself. That's what we read in Colossians 1. And he desires to do it not in an egotistical sort of a way, but really, God made us for himself to be in relationship with him. To sing and dance, as it were, to his song in the world. To enjoy and discover really what it means to live significantly and meaningfully as his creation in his world. discovering really his unique plan for your life. You know, the older Christian writers put it like this. Really, we were created to enjoy him in life. We were made by him and for him to enjoy a relationship with God in life today, not when you die, which is what so many people think. That the Christian life only begins when you die. You know, it's interesting. 3 weeks ago, I had a conversation with a friend called Rob Rabaina. Rob's actually from Perth, speaking at the Extreme Camp this year. And as we had coffee in Castle Hill, and I got lost because Castle Hill, sorry to say this, Annie, is a really bad place to drive to. You know, the roads are really bad. One wrong turn, and next thing you know, you're somewhere else in the bush, basically. Castle Hill feels like that, but that's all right. Okay. But, you know, I had this coffee with Rob Rabaina at Castle Hill Towers, and, you know, he said to me, you know, one of the things he's discovered in as he's ministered with students and he's worked in the church in Perth, he said, you know, many Christians live a joyless life. Isn't that true? They don't have joy in life. They only exist. They exist, but they don't really live. People on the outside look at their lives and they think, gee, you know, what a boring, unappealing life. The Christian life is seen, you know, for so many Christians as a burden to endure. You feel that sometimes? A series of do's and don'ts. A worthless life to get through. Nothing to live for and enjoy in the present. Why? Because all we're doing in the Christian life, he says, is, and that's the general view most Christians have, is that we're slogging through life just waiting for heaven to come. Isn't that just the general view of life? Waiting really to enjoy eternal life. And then he said to me, you know, the sad reality, he said, the sad reality is that Jesus comes so that you might have life and have it to the full today, now. You read a passage like John chapter 10, verse 10, and there Jesus says, I have come that they might have life and have it to the full. I have come that they might have life and have it to the full today. You see, eternal life begins not when you die. It begins in the present, in the now, and it goes beyond death. See, what does it mean to have life and have it to the full? It means living that relationship with God today. It means connecting really with the Creator who made you and discovering His purposes and design for your life today. It means enjoying that relationship with God and living out His purposes in life today. That's what the Christian life is about. That's what it means to live in tune with the song, not when you die. In fact, it is the most fulfilling and complete way to live if you think about it. In fact, it is the most God-glorifying way to live. Precisely because we were made by Him and for Him, when we live in tune with Him, we glorify Him. We bring Him praise. We actually do Him honor, don't we, as His creation. It's living according to the Creator's design for us in life. You know, I remember a time when I was out camping with a bunch of other guys. And we carried, you know, on our camping trip, and I know Terrence will cringe when he hears this because Terrence loves camping. We decided when we went camping, we were too lazy to bring dehydrated food, so we brought cans. How about that? Cans of food. Soup cans. You know those Campbell's soup cans? The problem was that none of us brought a can opener. Bunch of guys going camping with a bag full of cans. So what did we do? Well, we tried opening the cans up with a Bowie knife. You know what a Bowie knife is? One of those Rambo knives about that big, right? Try to jam it into the back of the, you know, top of the can, trying to cut open the top of the can. Now, what ended up happening, it was my knife, but it wasn't me who did it, was that the blade snapped off. You know, as someone's trying to jimmy out the top of the can and cut through it. And the can really was still unopened, just filled with lots of holes in the top. And you know, trying to empty the can through these holes, you know, except that none of the bits actually come out. You know, and one of the things, you know, as I reflected on that, one of the things that I discovered was that the Bowie knife, or the knife, was not designed to open cans. Wasn't designed to open cans. And when used for a purpose for which it was not designed, it results in damage, doesn't it? Damage for the knife and damage for the can. You know, the same is true of life if you think about it carefully. When you and I live our lives out of tune with the God who made us, when you and I live for a purpose for which we have not been designed, it is damaging for us and all that is around us. You were made by Him and for Him. In fact, it is as you live for Him, learning to enjoy Him in life, when you begin to order all of life around the God who made you, it is then that you glorify God. You know, the Shorter Catechism was a teaching tool written in 1647. And it was written to help people remember the great truths about God, the gospel, and how men and women should live in response to that gospel. It was made up of about 107 questions. In the early days at CPC, Surrey Hills, from where our church has come out from, in baptism classes, baptism candidates were required to memorize the questions and the answers to those 107 questions to be baptized. This is in the early 80s, and I thought, thank goodness I wasn't baptized there. 107 questions, you know? And Mark Besson over there, well, he knows those 107 questions because he comes out of a Reformed church. But the first question in the Shorter Catechism actually reads like this. What is our purpose in life? What is your purpose in life? And the answer reads, our purpose in life is to glorify God by enjoying Him forever. Our purpose in life is to glorify God by enjoying Him forever. And we've read there in Colossians, that's how it works. It is as we come into relationship with God that Jesus is being exalted, as God is being glorified. You bring God glory when you live in tune with His song and life. You bring God glory by enjoying a relationship with Him in every sphere of life when He is at the center of your life. And when you discover your meaning and significance and purpose, and when you live by His design and for His design in life, in every sphere of life. You know, it's another way of saying that really your ultimate purpose in life, you and I, our ultimate purpose in life, is to worship God. That's another way of saying it. Our ultimate purpose in life is to worship God. You and I were made for worship, to worship Him, to live with God at the center of life, to be in tune with His song and His purpose and His design as our Creator. Now, the question I'm going to ask you over and over again over the next few weeks is, are you in tune with the God who made you? Are you in tune with the God who made you? Is your life in tune with the God who has created you with a purpose in life? Are you in tune? Etymology is the study of insects. And what etymologists have done is they've conducted experiments where they entice male butterflies, basically, with painted cardboard replicas of female ones. And so what they do is they get these cardboard replica of female butterflies, they make them bigger, they make them more colorful, and they stick them there right next to the real female butterflies of the same species. And what they actually discovered was that the excited male butterfly would mount the piece of cardboard. Again and again he would mount that piece of cardboard. While nearby, next to that cardboard butterfly, the female butterfly would open and close her wings in vain. That's what they discovered. I'm going to some of the women here saying, well, dumb guys. But that's not the point, is it? That is not the point. Because you see, the sad reality is that the reason why your Christian life, you see, might be empty or shallow or even a burden is because you might just be worshiping a cardboard substitute in your life. A cardboard substitute of God in your life. Because perhaps, just maybe, God is not at the center of your life. Perhaps, maybe, you have never connected with the God who is your Creator. You have never realized that God is the one who has made you, also desires to have a relationship with you, and who has a unique purpose and design for your life. Who desires that you live connected with Him at the center of life. Perhaps you've just never realized that. See, it comes down, doesn't it, to the question of what is at the center for us in life. We all worship something in life, and I believe that sincerely. We all worship something in life. The question is, what is it you worship? What is at the center of your life? You know, pause and just reflect for a moment, right? And I want you to ask yourself this. What is the dominating passion in your life this morning? What is the dominating passion in your life this morning? See, what is your all-consuming vision in life right now? You see, you're living your life in tune with sacred substitutes in life. Living your life and ordering your life around cardboard cutouts of God. Well, that's what these 6 weeks are about, isn't it? Maybe today you need to begin tuning your life into a different song. You were made by Him and for Him. See, worship is not just about praising God and singing songs and praying to God. Because you see, God is most glorified and honored, and His worth in our lives is most acknowledged when you are living according to His design and purpose for you in life. You see, when you are enjoying God and living out His purpose for you in life. You know, Romans chapter 12, verse 1 puts it like this. Hand your life over to God to be used by Him for His purpose. This is worship. Hand your life over to God to be used by Him and for Him and for His purpose. This is worship. It's how we were meant to live. See, the journey begins when you begin to see that you are not the center of life. God is. The journey begins when you begin to see that it's not your song that's being played out in life. It's His song that's playing. The key to discovering, you see, your purpose in life to significance and meaning and value starts with God. You get that right and everything else falls into its proper place. You were made by Him. You were made for Him. You were made to worship Him. Get this right and it all falls into place. You know, the reason why we have Psalm 139 there for you is because I'm hoping that you go away this week and that you'll open up and you'll read Psalm 139 again for yourself. Because as you read Psalm 139, you know, as Annie read for us, one of the things I hope you discover is that you matter to God. That your life is not random. It is not an accident. You are created with a purpose. He made you just the way He wanted. He made you, He loves you, and He has a plan for your life. See, the 5 weeks we have ahead of us, it's not just about discovering your purpose in life. But it's about discovering your purpose in a relationship with the God who made you. Discovering your purpose in a relationship with the God who loves you. Discovering your purpose in a relationship with the God who desires that you know Him. In fact, if you read Psalm 109 very carefully, it doesn't just speak, you see, of a God who knows you and who has a plan for your life. Because here is a psalm, you know, written by a man who is in tune with the God who made him. Because, you know, if you hear and you read very carefully the words of the psalms, you discover that here is someone who echoes deeply what it means to live with God at the center of life. Who speaks of someone who not only knows about God, but who knows God deeply and intimately and personally. Who is known and received by God. In fact, I think Psalm 139 is the model of a life where God is at the center. Let me encourage you this week, if there's one thing you do this week, is to open up your scriptures. Have a read of Psalm 189. Let God speak to you. He desires to know you. And respond to Him in prayer. That's the only thing you do this week. It's enough. And next week, I hope you'll see that the heart of a life of worship is a life given over to loving God and loving His people. Let me pray for us. Father, we pray that as we begin this process of discovery, for many of us who've known You for many years, we pray that we might discover afresh what it means to be in a relationship with You, what it means to know You through Your Son, the Lord Jesus. We pray, Father, for those of you, for those of us here who walk with You all these years, that the weeks to come might be a time of renewal and refreshing, And for those of us who struggle deeply with intimacy with you, who wonder about whether we matter in life, we just want to pray, Lord, that we might discover our significance and worth and value as we begin to live with you at the center, and as we discover our purpose in life in relationship with you, the one who made us, the one who loves us, the one who desires to know us and for us to know you. So, Father, we pray and we commit ourselves to the next few weeks that you continue to speak deeply to us. For we ask this for Jesus' sake. Amen.